Critical Thinking Skills for Engineers, Book 4, On Open-Mindedness. Written by Sridhar Ramanathan. Narrated by Kat Lukabal. Introduction. In the first IEEE USA book in this series on critical thinking for engineers, we delved into analytical skills, the ability to examine something carefully, whether it is a problem, a set of data, or text. People with well-honed analytical skills create richer, better solutions to real-world challenges. In the second book in the series on communication, we expanded on critical thinking, from that of an individual to that of a group, where both oral and written communications is essential to group effectiveness in achieving a team goal. The third book in the series on creativity explored approaches to creativity for both individuals and groups. In this fourth book in the series, we build upon our work thus far by examining open-mindedness. To think critically, you need to be able to put aside any preconceived notions, assumptions, or judgments and simply analyze the information you have. As Christopher Dwyer, PhD at the National University of Ireland, states, open-mindedness is about being open to changing your mind in light of new evidence. In this audiobook, we will dive into each of the following areas that collectively contribute to open-mindedness: overcoming cultural bias, objectivity, humility, inclusivity, observation, and reflection. Before we jump in, let's start with an operating definition of open-mindedness and why it's important for engineers to cultivate the attributes mentioned previously. What is open-mindedness? Dr. Christopher Dwyer offers a rigorous definition in his Psychology Today article, Open-Mindedness and Skepticism in Critical Thinking. Open-mindedness refers to an inclination to be cognitively flexible and avoid rigidity in thinking, to tolerate divergent or conflicting views and treat all viewpoints alike prior to subsequent analysis and evaluation, to detach from one's own beliefs and consider seriously points of view other than one's own, without bias or self-interest, to be open to feedback by accepting positive feedback and not to reject criticism or constructive feedback without thoughtful consideration, to amend existing knowledge in light of new ideas and experiences, and to explore such new, alternative, or unusual ideas. In short, open-mindedness is about being willing to change your mind in light of new evidence. The key word here is evidence, meaning based on data rather than one's attitudes, opinions, beliefs, assumptions, interpretations, or judgments. Why is open-mindedness important? A PricewaterhouseCoopers PwC survey of more than 1,000 CEOs cited that curiosity and open-mindedness were leadership traits that are becoming increasingly critical in challenging times. Imagine what would have happened to society if the following lead investors did not have the foresight and open-mindedness to say yes to these business propositions. Shopping online virtually for any product, Amazon. A 100% electric car that goes over 200 miles without a charge, Tesla. Hailing a ride from your smartphone, Uber and Lyft. Streaming video programs, eliminating DVDs, Netflix. Easy sharing of stories and photos with your friends, Facebook. In hindsight, of course, these propositions all look like easy bets, but at the time, they most certainly were not. It took open-minded and visionary founders and investors to bring the innovation to society at scale. Overcoming cultural bias. You may recall the movie Hidden Figures, a popular movie in 2014. It was based upon the true story of a group of female African-American mathematicians who worked at NASA calculating flight trajectories for the Mercury Project and Apollo 11. The lead character, Katherine Johnson, died in 2020 at the age of 101. In many ways, she exemplified how a sharp, critically thinking person overcame strong cultural biases and downright discrimination. How did she do it? Johnson said it best. I didn't allow their side eyes and annoyed looks to intimidate me or stop me. I would also persist, even if I thought I was being ignored. If I encountered something I didn't understand, I'd just ask. I just ignored the social customs that told me to stay in my place. I wish I could say that Johnson's experiences are a distant memory, as cultural biases affect us to this very day. In fact, the Society of Women Engineers commissioned a workplace study recently. It showed that women engineers and engineers of color continue to face bias and stereotypes. This leads to disadvantages in hiring, pay, promotions, performance evaluations, and mentoring and leadership opportunities. Johnson's advice is sound even today. Persist, ask questions, and move forward. Here are some questions and tips that might help you maintain an open mind when you and your colleagues are discussing ideas about a specific engineering project. 1. Am I judging the idea on its own merits, or am I influenced by the person, their appearance, their manner, and the delivery of their idea? 2. What if we assumed the proposed idea was correct? What would that make possible? 3. Do I feel an urge to reject the idea and defend my own idea? 4. Am I somehow threatened by the idea? Would I be admitting I'm wrong on some level? 5. Am I concerned about what agreeing with this idea would say about me and my reputation? 6. Does agreeing with the idea associate me with others that I may or may not wish to be associated with? 7. Am I thinking to myself, I've heard this before, without listening to the full explanation of the idea? If you are the one proposing an idea and would like colleagues to have an open mind when listening, you can do what Benjamin Franklin is reputed to have done. Start by saying, I could be wrong, but... This lead-in puts people at ease, and it gives you a chance to be heard. Tip: before your meeting, check how open-minded you are by asking yourself the previous 7 questions. They can help point out any filters you may have when listening to an idea. Objectivity. For most engineers, objectivity might seem very straightforward. Either the solution works or it does not. But this perspective is limited and potentially dangerous, as engineers must anticipate the consequences of their engineering decisions based on evidence, experiences, and solid information. A tragic example of mistakenly relying on "it works, so we are good" is the Tacoma Suspension Bridge collapse of 1940. High winds caused undamped oscillations that ultimately overcame the structural integrity of the bridge. A professor of civil engineering at Columbia University, J.K. Finch, summarized it best. These long-forgotten difficulties with early suspension bridges clearly show that while to modern engineers the gyrations of the Tacoma Bridge constituted something entirely new and strange, they were not new. They had simply been forgotten. Objectivity requires us to learn from the past and apply prior insights. Dr. Lynette Wofford offers a good definition of objectivity. An objective opinion is one based on gathering information from external sources and trying to ascertain the correctness of that information by methods that are externally verifiable, often using empirical research, mathematics, statistics, or other scientific modes of investigation. The Tacoma Bridge failure was really an oversight in reviewing empirical research from many suspension bridges that had been built over the prior decade or so. Here are some questions to ask yourself to test your objectivity. 1. What are my biases? We're all human, so it's understandable that we rely on our feelings, the opinions of people we respect, and judgments based on our past experiences. By identifying your biases, you can make a conscious choice about how you want biases to affect your engineering decision, if at all. 2. What are the pros and cons? Before you make an engineering decision, make a list of pros and cons. Some of these positives and negatives may carry a heavier weight in your decision. 3. How valid are my data sources? Be sure to check the accuracy, reliability, and appropriateness of all data and information you are relying upon to make your engineering decision. 4. What are my hypotheses? Your decision might be based on what you believe to be true, but it may not necessarily be so. Frame these thoughts as hypotheses that should be tested. An incorrect or null hypothesis may substantially change your decision. 5. What are my assumptions? Sometimes you'll have to make assumptions in the absence of data or information. That's okay, but be sure to document the assumption. Also, test the sensitivity of your engineering solution to the assumption you're making. Tip: test your objectivity against the 5 preceding questions to ensure you are being as objective as possible when making an engineering decision. Humility. In the seminal work, Good to Great: Why Some Companies Make the Leap and Others Don't, author Jim Collins cites David Packard, co-founder of Hewlett-Packard, as a shining example of humility. He quotes Packard as saying, "You shouldn't gloat about anything you've done. You ought to keep going and find something better to do." This case in point is the essence of humility: being confident in oneself enough to put ego aside and focus on the best solution. What does humility have to do with open-mindedness and critical thinking for engineers? Well, imagine you're in an engineering team meeting and you're discussing a particular problem as a group. What if one of the more vocal members keeps bringing attention back to themselves and boasts about his or her accomplishments and keeps expounding on why their idea was the best? Of course, that behavior doesn't lend itself to bringing the best out in the team. In fact, it doesn't foster open-mindedness, but rather defensiveness. A more effective approach would be to debate ideas rather than boosting one's ego by minimizing others' contributions. Humility is clearly a key attribute in high-performing engineering teams. It has even become a criterion hiring factor in many tech firms. In 9 Ways to Build a Great Engineering Culture, Alex Salazar describes how humility works in a team setting. If you want to have a successful technology startup, you need more than just a great company culture. You specifically need a great engineering culture. In order for open debate to really work in a team, you need humble people. Humble people are more focused on finding the right answer than winning an argument. Humble people have ideas and opinions, but no, they aren't always right. Humble people make room for others to disagree with them and still respectfully engage. Humble people will commit to a decision counter to their opinion so long as they feel their voice was heard. Humble people are easy to teach. Humble people are easy to work with. They're inclusive, share credit, and tend to be open to new ideas. Google's Senior Vice President of People Operations, Laszlo Bock, echoes the importance of hiring engineering talent that demonstrates humility. Bock states, "Your end goal is what we can do together to problem solve. I've contributed my piece, and then I step back. It's intellectual humility. Without humility, you are unable to learn." To be clear, humility does not mean putting yourself beneath others or suppressing your own ideas and feelings. It means, as Laszlo Bock says, stepping back to keep focused on the best engineering solution, regardless of who proposes it. Let's summarize some key ways to practice humility in the engineering workplace. 1. Listen first. Be open to new information or ideas, even if you disagree or if they run counter to your point of view. Your colleagues will listen to you much more if they feel heard. 2. Avoid boasting. As we discussed previously, nothing stifles team productivity more than someone bragging about their accomplishments. Let your fine work and reputation speak for you instead. It's certainly okay to be confident in your wins and to discuss them privately with your manager rather than trying to impress a room. 3. Recognize others. By acknowledging a good idea from a colleague, you build trust and encourage more healthy team dynamics that lead to the best engineering solutions. Better yet, give credit if someone's idea or contribution actually helped you in your own success. 4. Own mistakes. Bill Hewlett and Dave Packard often said, "The greatest success goes to the person who is not afraid to fail in front of even the largest audience." In this context, failure is being okay with being proven wrong about an engineering solution you may have. Be okay with being wrong. Some of your best growth comes from learning from mistakes. 5. Be self-confident. Humility doesn't mean being insecure, self-effacing, or questioning your own worth. Rather, it means being aware of and confident in your own strengths and accomplishments without necessarily needing public praise. 6. Be self-aware. Know your strengths and weaknesses. Try to balance your own needs for recognition and appreciation with service to others. The need to know you make a difference is valid and worthy of addressing. Ask your manager for recognition when you have accomplished something you are proud of. 7. Accept feedback. Humility often means welcoming and accepting constructive input from others who are helping you to become a better engineer and leader. Sometimes it's hard to hear criticism, and it may not always come from someone who has your best interests at heart. But is the criticism valid and worth you taking it into consideration to be a better engineer? Humility is a lifelong practice, even for the most experienced of leaders. Forbes magazine's article, "Why Humble Leaders Make the Best Leaders," cites a recent research study. At a managerial level, traits associated with humility, such as soliciting feedback and focusing on employee needs, generated higher levels of engagement and job performance from their direct reports. Tip: in your next meeting, try listening much more than you would normally speak. Practice the preceding 7 tips to see how humility can help you strengthen your skill as an engineer. Inclusivity. An open-minded and critically thinking engineer is one who is also open to ideas, regardless of the originator's race, age, gender, sexual orientation, disability, religion, or any other such characteristic. The Royal Academy of Engineering did a rigorous study of inclusivity in the engineering discipline among nearly 7,000 engineers in the United Kingdom. The good news is that 82% of engineers report that they already feel very included in the engineering profession. However, the challenge is that room for significant improvement still exists, as these statistics show. Male engineers are almost twice as likely as their female colleagues to perceive the culture of engineering as very inclusive. Engineers aged 46 and over feel less included in the profession than their younger colleagues. White engineers are significantly more likely than their Black, Asian, and minority ethnic BAME colleagues to feel very included in the engineering profession. 31% of disabled engineers describe the culture of engineering as not very or not at all inclusive. Half of all lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, LGBTQ engineers do not feel able to be open about their sexual orientation at work. Why bother to create a more inclusive engineering environment? The United Kingdom study cites specific benefits of a more inclusive engineering workplace. 80% of engineers reported increased motivation. 68% of engineers cited increased performance, and 52% reported an increased commitment to their organizations. Clearly, a more inclusive work environment is both good for engineers and good for business. How might we cultivate and practice a higher sensitivity to inclusive behaviors and attitudes? Here are specific recommendations. Value inclusion. If you believe that everyone has ideas worthy of consideration, and you wish to bring that out in yourself and others, then show others by asking every attendee in the team meeting for their opinions. Solicit all of their inputs on engineering decisions. Self-awareness. Take a moment before an upcoming meeting. Remind yourself about how you might unconsciously and unwittingly behave differently with people based on their characteristics rather than on just their ideas. Self-kindness. Whether you are the one treating others differently or you are the one who does not feel included, have compassion for yourself. You know you have good intentions and want to do the right thing. Cultivating inclusion is an ongoing practice of awareness and adjustments in behaviors. Speak up. If you ever feel your manager or your colleagues are excluding you or are treating you differently, it's important to speak up in the moment. These individuals may not be aware of how their comments or behaviors may trigger feelings of exclusion. It is important to speak up in a manner that is polite and direct rather than accusatory. You'll get better results that way. Ask for help. Create an atmosphere of friendliness, acceptance, and teamwork, one free of offensive banter, bullying, microaggression, or harassment. If you experience resistance to these core values of respectful collaboration, ask your manager for help. Sometimes management intervention is warranted if issues cannot be resolved quickly and easily through respectful conversation and mutual understanding. Build relationships. Most people find that others who are different are actually not all that different from themselves once they get to know one another. Take time to invest in relationships with your colleagues and managers. Find out more about their unique stories, backgrounds, and life experiences. Building relationships helps lower the barriers resulting from intended or unintended exclusivity. On inclusivity, Dell Technologies Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer Brian Reeves said, "People are encouraged to be their authentic self, meaning you're not trying to code switch and be like everyone else. When all the people in the room are open to someone else's point of view, you really get the 1+1=3, or sometimes even 4 effect." This theory is the true power of inclusivity. It leads to better engineering results for us all. Tip: an open-minded engineer naturally wants to find the best solution to an engineering problem. Use your innate curiosity to understand others better so your collaboration results in better outcomes. The preceding recommendations should help. Observation. Wilbur and Orville Wright, the first people to build and successfully fly a piloted glider airplane, spent countless hours observing birds in flight. They learned that as birds soared into the wind, the air flowing over their curved wings created lift. To turn a maneuver, birds would simply adjust the shape of their wings. Through their meticulous observations of birds, the Wright brothers perfected a technique to obtain roll control by warping the shape of their glider's wing. Another engineer who turns out to be an avid bird watcher is Eiji Nakatsu. Nakatsu noticed that kingfishers have a very streamlined beak, allowing them to dive into streams without making a splash. The beak directs water to flow around the beak rather than being pushed in front of it and causing turbulence and a big splash. With that observation, Nakatsu mimicked the kingfisher bill when designing the Japanese bullet trains. These trains run at 300 kilometers per hour, 180 miles per hour, while consuming less energy due to the reduced air resistance. His observation of kingfishers helped him solve a common public complaint that Japanese bullet trains create a deafening tunnel boom as they exited tunnels. Tony Brennan is a third example of how an engineer looked to nature and used consummate observational skills to make a breakthrough contribution. Brennan noticed that shark skin was covered with tiny tooth-like scales that prevented barnacles, algae, and slime from adhering to the shark's bodies. Shark skin is even able to prevent such bacteria as E. coli from causing disease to occur within the fish. How is that careful observation useful? Brennan went on to found Sharklet Technologies, a medical device company that makes catheters and wound dressings made of shark skin. These devices and dressings have been proven to prevent common sources of infections. What can we learn from these three examples of engineers who used their power of observation to be open-minded enough to apply their learnings in achieving an engineering breakthrough? Here are three lessons we can take away. 1. Pay attention to the little things. You never know when something in your daily life, animal, plant, object, person, etc., will spark an idea if you are open to it, and if you consider it, may apply to an engineering problem you are working on. 2. Look deeper. It took a microscope for Tony Brennan to see what protected sharks from disease and unwanted attachments. It took Eiji Nakatsu a closer look at kingfisher bills to see why they worked so well in deflecting water. Be open to something catching your eye, then look closer, much closer. Who knows what ideas it will open up for you? 3. Engage all your senses. Being open-minded and observant goes beyond using your eyes. Try sitting in your backyard and just listening, smelling, touching, watching, and being among all the happenings there. Often as engineers, we get singularly focused on a task or an engineering problem. By engaging all your senses, you take in more information that might feed your creativity and lead to an unexpected insight. Tip: try paying attention to the little things in your life. Look deeper into whatever captures your interest. Find ways to engage all five of your senses. You'll find these practices will help with your powers of observation. In turn, that observation will lead directly to open-mindedness and better engineering. Reflection. As you well know, engineers live very busy lives with many demands on their time. It often feels like there's no time to stop and think, reflect, and just ruminate on ideas and challenges you may be facing. In How to Regain the Lost Art of Reflection, the authors note that a focus on information processing, reaction, and execution, while it may feel productive, causes the quality of our thoughts to suffer. We believe that corporate leaders in today's complex world urgently need to recultivate the art of reflection. Let's look at some great engineering leaders who have integrated reflection time into their busy schedules so they can be more productive and effective. Bill Gates is well known for his annual Think Week sessions. He goes off to a remote cabin toting a few boxes of books, magazines, and articles. He uses this unstructured time to read, annotate his readings, think creatively, and reflect on a range of topics. In fact, Gates felt this unstructured reflection time so important, he brought it to Microsoft. He engages Microsoft's top 50 engineering thinkers in a similar Think Week venue. On the annual event, Gates comments, "We have institutionalized it as kind of a grassroots process. This is a way that somebody who is even just a year or two into the company and has ideas that may or may not relate to the group can write something up." Jack Dorsey, Twitter CEO, is another engineering leader who has embraced reflection time. Dorsey describes his approach to reflection time this way in a tweet. "Just finished a 10-day silent meditation. Wow, what a reset. Fortunate and grateful that I was able to take the time." Of course, not everyone can afford to take off on a 10-day silent retreat or a think week. LinkedIn CEO Jeff Weiner recommends an everyday approach to reflection time. The solution, as simple as it sounds, is to periodically schedule nothing. Use that buffer time to think big, catch up on the latest industry news, get out from under that pile of unread emails, or just take a walk. Whatever you do, just make sure you make that time for yourself, every day and in a systemic way, and don't leave unscheduled moments to chance. The buffer is the best investment you can make in yourself and the single most important productivity tool I use. Reflection ties directly into being an open-minded and critically thinking engineer because this quality time yields more expansive and unpredicted solutions than you might otherwise devise. Here's a summary of tips to improve your own reflection experiences. 1. Schedule unstructured time each week. Book 30 minutes, an hour or more each week to give yourself some quiet time just to stop and think. The important thing is to make this a weekly practice. Take notes as fresh ideas pop into your mind and inspire immediate action. 2. Book a debrief with your team. Sometimes it's helpful to schedule a meeting with your team to reflect on a project decision or engineering problem you're facing as a group. This special time can create the space for new ideas and perspectives to surface. Be sure to set the tone that all ideas are welcome so as not to stifle the free flow of ideas. 3. Write in a journal. Writing stream of thoughts in a journal or even in your smartphone notepad app gives you the opportunity to look back over recent events and reimagine pathways forward. Make this a weekly habit, even if it's only jotting down a few key points that come to mind. 4. Go for a walk. In the article Reflect: Why It Matters and How to Improve, author Anne Rolfe recommends going for a walk each day over lunch to reflect on your morning and to think about your afternoon. Some engineers even do walking meetings with colleagues as a way to change up the environment and encourage new thoughts. 5. Pose questions. Set your brain up to work in the background by asking yourself questions such as, where am I feeling stuck or stymied or resistant to change? If I could make one change to my approach for solving an engineering challenge, what would that be? What new possibilities might there be if I relaxed some assumptions I have about myself or my engineering team? Where would I like a breakthrough in my personal and professional endeavors? What is going well that could use more of my attention? As Peter Drucker said, follow effective action with quiet reflection. From the quiet reflection will come even more effective action. Tip: make time to reflect, as it will prove to be a valuable contributor to your open-mindedness and effectiveness as an engineer. Try scheduling time just for yourself. Practice the preceding 5 tips to free your mind so you can make new connections to both your past and your future. Conclusion. I hope you found this audiobook on open-mindedness useful in making you a more critically thinking engineer, one who taps into fresh new ideas, whether they are generated from your own self-reflection or from engaging your colleagues in a novel new way. In the next book in the series on critical thinking for engineers, I focus on problem-solving skills. Now that we have established a solid base in analytical thinking, communications, creativity, and open-mindedness, we can move on to the last skill in this series. Problem solving is a critical thinking skill that involves analyzing problems, devising and implementing solutions, and assessing the effectiveness of these solutions in delivering the desired outcomes. Some consider the engineer's very raison d'etre is to solve the tough problems that society faces. I encourage you to continue on this journey in critical thinking for engineers. About the author. Sridhar Ramanathan has 30 years of experience in technology companies, from startups to blue-chip firms. As managing director and co-founder of Aventi Group, a product marketing agency, he has been instrumental in leading many tech firms through high-growth phases. Prior to Aventi Group, Ramanathan was the marketing executive for Hewlett-Packard's managed services business, where he was responsible for marketing worldwide and managing the portfolio of HP Services' $1.1 billion unit. He also held profit and loss responsibility for electronic messaging outsourcing and e-service business units. Ramanathan holds an MBA from the Wharton School of Business and a BS in Engineering Physics from UC Berkeley. He is active in nonprofit work from Boy Scouts to St. Michael Church Ministries to serving as Vice Chair Emeritus of the Board of Child Advocates of Silicon Valley, an organization that provides stability and hope to abused and neglected children. Ramanathan lives in Livermore, California, with his wife Gina and their four teenage children. This has been Critical Thinking Skills for Engineers, Book 4 on Open-Mindedness, written by Sridhar Ramanathan, narrated by Kat Lukabaugh.